Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya, Below the Bar podcast. So before I jump into this week's episode, just a brief reminder that I will be launching the Coach Enya platform in January 2024. What is it? It's very similar to an app. You'll download it to your phone. And it's basically for people who may not want to use my one-on-one services or my challenge or get involved with my 8-week challenges, or, you know, they suppose you're on a budget. It's really, really good in that sense. So you'll still have the accountability and you'll also have a roadmap as well for your journey. So for example, you can tell the app, I can only work out 3 days or 4 days or 5 days. It will give you a workout plan based on your goals, build muscle, lose body fat. If there's an exercise on your program and you don't have access to a machine like that in your gym, you can swap out the exercise. If suddenly you have an injury, you can swap out an exercise as well. You can track your gym progress on the app too. And also when it comes to food, you'll be given your calories and macros, again, based on whether you want to lose body fat or gain muscle. And it builds you a food plan based on your preferences. So if you have any allergies, if there's food you dislike, it's really, really good in that sense. It's really, really individual based. And then also there'll be many, many other features on the app that I'm going to be adding on to it, such as yoga or meditation. I have a breathing coach, a mindset coach I'm looking at getting on board as well. It's basically like an education hub, but also giving you a roadmap too. So yeah, if you would like to sign up and hear about when it's launching, the exact date, you can go and put your email into my mailing list. If you go to the link in my bio on my Coach Enya Instagram page and you get an email, sure, who knows, there might even be a special offer as well if you sign up to the mailing list, and you might get a discount then when it launches, okay? So jumping into this week's episode, excuse me. So this week I want to focus on supplements and digestion, okay? So first of all, we're going to focus on supplements. So supplements is something that comes into my inbox a lot on Instagram. So people asking, should I take this? Why should I take that? I stopped taking this, etc. So I just want to kind of go through the main supplements that I take, okay, and that my coach has recommended for me to take. Supplements aren't absolutely necessary, but they do help. They do help, especially if you're lacking in certain areas, like, you know, you struggle to get enough protein, and they aren't substitutes. Like, for example, I would recommend maybe 1 to 2 protein shakes a day max. I think there's like 20 grams of protein in one shake. If you had to target, you know, 140 grams of protein, would you be drinking 140 grams in a shake? Absolutely not. You'd be sick and it'd be horrible. And you want to get the majority of your protein from actual like poultry sources and meat sources, okay? Like I suppose the likes of whey protein and stuff like that, they're good, but they just help. Like they help to fill the gaps. I wouldn't use them as a complete substitute. But yeah, while we're on the subject of protein, yes, protein powder is a supplement and it's not something that you have to take. I put it in my oats, okay? Because when I wake up in the morning, sometimes like a meaty breakfast isn't something I fancy. I like something on the go, quick and easy to make. And I basically put about 80 grams worth of oats into a bowl, about 120 mils of protein milk, 10 grams of Meridian peanut butter, and for fats, and then I throw in a scoop of whey protein, and you can get so many flavors. Some of them are really nice. I have like the cinnamon donut flavor, and it's really nice. I used to have the Biscoff flavor as well. I think it's called Pure Form with the number 4 in the word. It's the name of the brand, and I love that, and it's nice and it's tasty and it suits me. But you know, it might not suit you. You might prefer to have a meaty breakfast or a smaller breakfast, but again, it brings the protein content up. So the first meal of the day I'm having has about 40 to 45 grams of protein in it straight away, all right? And the first meal of your day, even if it's not breakfast, even if you don't class as breakfast, it should always have a lot of protein in it, because it does give you a head start then. You're not playing catch up then at lunch and dinner. And then, you know, the time of day that you take protein, I don't think matters. A lot of other coaches agree as well. It doesn't matter at what time of day you take it. Like, for instance, after a workout, like taking it straight after a workout, like, oh, I won't build muscle if I don't drink a protein shake straight after. Like, that's just kind of like bro science. It doesn't matter what time of day you take it. And sometimes people don't digest it very well. You know, sometimes people, they might be, I suppose, intolerant to dairy. Like whey is a byproduct of dairy. Like it's nearly like, I suppose, milk in powder form. But yeah, it's, you can get like vegan alternatives. It's like, I suppose, pea protein, I think. I think that's another version of it. My protein website do so many supplements, and obviously they start with producing protein powders, and there's so many flavors. But yeah, if you're a vegan or you're gluten intolerant, they do have other alternatives, and they're flavored too. I know some people who aren't even you know, vegans or vegetarians, and they take it actually just because they digest it better. So yeah, that's the sum of protein powder. Am I forgetting anything else when it comes to protein powder? So you can take it with milk or you can take it with water. I prefer to take it with milk. I just think it's rank with water, to be honest. It's like eating porridge with water. It's just not nice. Milk gives a bit of a flavor. It's like drinking a milkshake. And you can throw it into nearly anything as well. Like, for example, a milkshake, your breakfast, you know, you can mix it in with like some Greek yogurt. Like, I suppose a couple of years ago, it used to be very, very clumpy, but they've gotten a lot better now at like really, really breaking down the powder to, you know, avoid all those little rocks and stuff like that you can kind of taste how clumpy it is. And they've gotten a lot better at that. And then obviously, like, you can just keep a beaker as well. Also, word of warning, do not wash out a protein shake beaker, right, and then close the lid on it, because when you open it, you are going to be hit with a wall of absolute stench. It's like camel's breath. So I actually always leave the lid off the shake after I wash it, because air gets into it and it doesn't smell. So that's one thing you notice. If you put the lid back on, close it and put it back into a school bag, yeah, you're not going to be greeted with a nice smell. But yeah, so that's protein, okay? And obviously we need protein. Protein is important for, you know, building muscle, repairing it. It also keeps us full in between meal times if we're having enough protein at meals. What else? Actually, your body burns more calories breaking down protein than it does with carbs and fats, okay? So it takes your body more energy to break down protein, which is also another benefit. So yeah, that's why we need protein. So speaking of protein, EAAs, okay, so essential amino acids. This is another supplement that you can take, okay? So when protein is metabolized and broken down, it's converted into amino acids, all right? And the human body can't make amino acids by itself, so it needs to get it from food or supplements, e.g. like protein powder, chicken, turkey, etc. And essential amino acids, the benefits of taking these is increased muscle mass. So not only are you taking protein from food, but when you're taking a supplement like essential amino acids, you're enhancing the amount of protein that's being synthesized in the body. So obviously with that, it's going to increase muscle mass. If you have more protein circulating around the body, you're going to increase muscle mass with this supplement as well as meat and poultry. Because you've increased the amount of amino acids in your body, you're going to build more muscle mass, okay? And I would usually take this in between a workout. While doing a workout, it's also called intra-workout. And it's basically like a flavored powder that you can put into your water, okay? So it's like flavored water nearly. Mine tastes like those yellow refreshers, the one that I have at the moment. Again, my protein website, I don't even get paid by these guys, but they have it too. There's so many websites that sell this. Again, it's not a necessity, but it does help, especially if you're someone, I suppose, who is a vegan and, you know, you're not getting a lot of protein into your diet. This is going to enhance it, okay? Again, wouldn't use it as a substitute. It just enhances the amount of protein you're getting into your body, and it does help. It's like an aid, okay? But again, really good to take during a workout. And a lot of them as well have added electrolytes, so electrolytes are really good for during a workout too, because they're keeping you hydrated, okay, especially if you're sweating a lot. If you're doing weight training, it's not really normal to like really sweat intensely, only if you're doing kind of like high intensity workouts or like those boot camp style classes. But again, just because you're not sweating doesn't mean you're using up energy, doesn't mean that, you know, you're hydrated. So obviously you want to replace the salt being lost through exercise with an electrolyte. And then obviously EAA is helping as well. So it helps with muscle recovery too. So, you know, that's one of the added benefits too, because sometimes people think that if their muscles aren't sore after a workout, it wasn't a good workout. I don't get sore after every workout. And, you know, these could be workouts where I've reached a PB on a squat or something like that. Sometimes my muscles only get sore if I haven't trained a muscle group in about a week or so. So if I haven't trained my hamstrings in about a week, I would probably feel sore the next day when I do train them, because it's been a while. But yeah, you won't feel sore after every workout. But, you know, EAAs, added protein, is responsible for growth and repair. That's the function of protein. So when you're adding something like essential amino acids into your day-to-day, you're going to enhance muscle recovery as well, okay? And then obviously, with good recovery and muscle mass increase, what's going to happen? You're going to enhance your strength, okay? So your increase in improvement in muscle mass is a result of using EAAs. Your strength will follow, okay? Good recovery, increase muscle mass is obviously the whole strength thing is going to follow, because your muscle's going to grow. And what happens when it grows? Your strength increases, okay? Again, it's probably beneficial to people who are vegans and stuff and don't get a lot of protein in their diet, but it's not a substitute, lads, okay? Don't like have about 40 grams of protein a day from like yogurts and meat and then just think, oh, this is a great substitute, like the same as protein powder too, okay? It's not. Like, you need to be getting the majority of your protein from actual solid foods, okay? Moving on, creatine. So similar to amino acids, we get it from like the likes of, there's a small amount of it in like red meat, so beef, also pork and fish. So the body breaks down, so the body obviously takes this from meat, okay, and then it produces a small amount, but the body breaks down muscle creatine stores every day, okay, to the point where there's basically none in the system. So supplements actually save you eating large amounts of meat. So I think like for 500 grams of red meat, we only get 1 gram of creatine, and we need about 3 to 5 grams in our diet daily, okay, to really get the added benefit of taking creatine, which I'll explain now. So, you know, the supplement of creatine, saves you eating large amounts of meat, because you would be sick, okay? You'd actually be very sick if you were to eat that much of meat. I know anyone who starts tracking their protein intake from, you know, going from 0 to 100 grams a day, they even say it's very difficult because you're not used to eating so much. It can be sometimes overwhelming. So yeah, creatine, I'm going to tell you the function of that now, okay? So basically, our muscle needs an energy source called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, okay, for power during weights and sprinting, etc. So, you know, ATP gives us that power when we're lifting weights, like it gives us that strength when we're like doing a massive sprint up a hill, like that's what gives us the power to like really go up that hill, okay? Basically like revving the engine of a car, all right? Like that's what it's like. And our body uses creatine to help make ATP more prevalent in the body, okay, for energy, meaning your muscles are always well fueled. If you're taking a supplement like creatine, again, we're going to have to eat so much meat to get you know, about 5 grams of creatine from meat. So that's why taking a supplement like creatine, it's just a little scoop of powder, and that you can get flavored ones now as well. You can just throw it in your water, and I'm going to tell you the right time to take it. But it means that your muscles are always well fueled, they're stronger, you have more strength, and then obviously, which follows, increased muscle mass. If you're stronger, your muscle mass is going to grow as well, okay? So I'd probably take it after a workout, so 3 to 5 grams, either in, you could throw it into a shake, you could throw it into water, but just take it with liquid, because I wouldn't take a try. But yeah, creatine, it really does enhance ATP, which gives us more strength in the gym. And if, you know, if we're making PBs in the gym, we added creatine, like if we're, I suppose, imagine you were doing an 80 kilogram squat for like 10 reps for 3 rounds, and you know, you were able to do 11 to 12 with taking creatine as a supplement, you would notice the difference as the weeks go on, like that the power you are producing in the gym as a result of taking creatine is really paying off, and it just enhances muscle growth then, because you're getting stronger in the gym, you know. It's basically like a little kick up the arse. So the next supplement I would recommend is, sometimes it's not about muscle growth either, sometimes it's about overall health. So I have like all these written down on a page so I don't forget. So vitamin D. So vitamin D you can get in a capsule form. You can take it you know, just before your breakfast, fasted particularly. So vitamin D we get from the sun. So the sun helps our body produce vitamin D, okay? And vitamin D regulates the immune system, it reduces inflammation, and it helps the body absorb calcium, okay? And you know, calcium is important for stronger bones, which is important for the gym too, because we don't want to have brittle, weak bones, especially if you're going to be jumping around like a mad thing in one of those boot camp classes. But yeah, it boosts the immune system. So I suppose people who lack vitamin D in their diet, like people who live up the North Pole or in the South Pole and they only get sun for half the year, like if they weren't taking vitamin D as a supplement form, they'd probably be more prone to like infections and illnesses, especially in the winter time. Even people who like live in Ireland or, you know, any other country that lacks a lot of sunlight. The weather's kind of bad most of the year. And, you know, Ireland does lack sunlight, let's be honest. But in the winter, the days are shorter and we do lack sunlight. So taking vitamin D helps boost the immune system, which means that you're less prone to getting infections and illnesses. So obviously the sunlight is important too. I just talked about that in the episode previous to this one. Sunlight is really important for boosting mood too, but it's also important for, you know, the body producing vitamin D by itself without supplement form. So sunlight's important too. They go hand in hand with vitamin D. The next one is omega-3. So you can get that in omega-3 fish oil. So you can get that in supplement form too. So I'm just going to list off what this improves. Okay, so sleep, all right, skin, blood pressure, your memory, it eases PMS symptoms, joint health, which is also important if we're in the gym, and bone health. I usually get the box in Boots. Well, it's not a box, it's, you know, literally like a jar. I think you get like 100 capsules, so that does me for like 3.5 months. And they're just really, really important. They are for your overall health, not just for the gym. Because remember, when we're healthy and we're in good nick, we're going to be able to be more consistent with the gym. But if we're getting sick a lot, we're going to be missing the gym a lot and we're going to be missing out on those muscle gains, okay? Electrolytes. So I mentioned these earlier that they can come along with EAA. So like the powder EAA does actually include an electrolyte with it. A lot of them include EAA. A lot of EAAs include electrolytes in the jar as well, all right? So it's all mixed into a powder form. But I usually always take electrolytes on their own first thing in the morning. So you could take a diurolyte if you wanted, but they sell like actual electrolytes that are branded for the likes of like athletes and sports people. What was the name of it? I forget the name of it now. But I think actually MyProtein does its own version as well of it. It's just a website where you can just get all of this stuff because, you know, it's targeted at people who go to the gym, so they're going to stock all that stuff. But there's another website, stromsports.ie. I get a couple of stuff from that. Now, you know, supplements are expensive. They are, guys. And like I said, they're not essential. Like, you don't absolutely need these to get a good result, but they just help. Like, they do help. So if you are in a position to afford it, I'd probably get it. I would. But again, it's not absolutely necessary. But electrolytes, yeah, they are great for keeping muscles flexible, okay? So if we're taking an electrolyte, our muscles are going to look like grapes, full of water, nice and juicy, well hydrated. And if we're lacking water, all right, and this is going to come into the whole digestion conversation down the line as well. If we're lacking water, we're not drinking enough, or we're not hydrated going into workouts, our muscles are going to look like raisins and not grapes. And what happens when they look like raisins? They're less flexible, okay? And it's just going to feel a lot tougher. You're going to feel nauseous. You're not going to feel as energized. You're going to feel weaker. So electrolytes are so important for increased blood flow and, you know, decreased the feeling of being lightheaded. And then there's one more. So, well, there's two more actually. Support Neuro Max PM. Okay, so this is a supplement that you can get on that stromsports.ie that I was talking about, but it's also a supplement that you can just search on its own and other websites might stock it. But it's important for sleep. Sleep could be an entirely separate podcast altogether, but if we have good sleep and we're not going to bed like really anxious, or, you know, chronic stress is something like where your job is just constantly stressing you out day to day, week on week, you're just constantly stressed out. And then we have like stress where, you know, we could have a big interview coming up tomorrow. Like, that's kind of like minor stress, but chronic stress is going to affect sleep, okay? It's going to affect our cortisol levels in the body. It's just, sleep is so important. So we want to give our body the best chance of getting a good night's sleep. And this isn't like a sedative or anything like that, okay? But it does, like, I suppose, produce more melatonin, magnesium. It contains magnesium, lemon balm. And it just means you're going to be less stressed going to bed, and, you know, eases anxiety and just guarantees a good night's sleep. So I'd probably take about half an hour before bed, put the screens away, etc., and off you go onto cloud nine. Because going to bed stressed, you're just going to have a broken sleep. It's going to upset your stomach. It's just, sleep is so important, especially the next day. It's just a massive domino effect. If you're like, you know, lacking motivation after a good night's sleep, imagine how you're going to feel after a shit night's sleep. Your cravings go through the roof. I said in another podcast that, you know, carbohydrates are our body's primary source of fuel. And when we're like really, really lacking sleep and really tired and fatigued, our body is going to want carbohydrates because it wants us to get energy as quick as possible to kind of wake us up. And there's fast carbs and slow carbs. That's what I call them. Fast carbs are like your cakes, your biscuits, your crisps, etc. Really salty processed food. And then like your slow carbs are like of your brown foods, like your brown bread, oats, etc., spuds. Stuff with like foods like really high in fiber, like brown wholemeal foods, like they're slow releasing carbs, but your body's going to crave fast carbs because it wants to process food as quick as possible to give us energy. And where do we get fast carbs from, and what do we crave? The likes of cakes, biscuits, and we think snacks are going to fill us, but you know, our cravings go through the roof when we are tired, like when we don't get a good night's sleep, especially a night after drinking. Like, you're not going to get a good night's sleep after drinking alcohol. And that's why we crave all those salty foods the next day, because our body is screaming out for some energy. That's what it is. It doesn't want the good foods. It wants fast carbs, fast releasing energy. So yeah, that's the domino effect of not getting a good night's sleep. So to give yourself, I suppose, the best starting chance of a good night's sleep, that's, I suppose, a good place to start. Also, melatonin supplements or gummies. I take a melatonin gummy before I go to sleep, and it just helps me drift off that. It's not a sedative, it's not. It just helps the body produce more melatonin. What inhibits melatonin is not getting direct sunlight in the morning. So when you wake up and you're at your back door, whatever way the sun hits your house, getting some direct sunlight really, really helps the body produce more melatonin for later in the day. And you're like, well, I just woke up, so why would I want to be, you know, getting more melatonin to feel sleepier? It's not the way it works. It just means when you go to bed, then your body has a healthy amount of melatonin in the body. And it just gives you the better chance of getting a good sleep. And then the supplements help too. But if you're on your phone before you go to bed and you're on your phone for hours and hours, like we're all guilty of it, scrolling on TikTok, the blue light in your phone actually inhibits the production of enough melatonin to put you asleep. So you might find when you put your phone down, you actually find it harder to go asleep. And it's because you've been staring at a screen for the last 2 hours, okay? So what I do is I tend to put the phone away about an hour before I go to bed, and I create a good environment, you know, blackout curtains, cool room, screen away, telly off, and yeah, take my little melatonin gummy and off I go onto cloud nine. And then you can put a filter on your phone as well. A lot of people get those like blue light blocking glasses. You can put a filter on your phone now, like to save you money. It's like an orange filter. I think you go into like display settings. But again, it's not an excuse to still sit on your phone before you go to sleep, like 10 minutes before you hit the hay. And then there's pre-workout as well, which is just glorified caffeine. So a lot of people become heavily dependent on this and they think they need it. They don't. Like, if you're well fueled before a workout, like if you wake up first thing in the morning at like 6 a.m, all right, and you don't want a big breakfast yet or a big meal, like let's say you take it at 10 o'clock, a big meal, you can have a banana and a protein yogurt. Like, that's plenty. That's plenty to go on. But pre-workout, like, it's like rocket fuel sometimes. And some people think they need it, but I think just being well fueled with food, a good carb source, e.g. banana, a little bit of protein as well, is enough. And then people drinking caffeine during a workout, like, you should be drinking, if you're going to take a can of Monster, lads, take it an hour before you work out, because then you're going to feel the benefits in the workout, okay? Because it takes about an hour for that caffeine to be released into the system and for your body to like utilize it and play on it. You know, when you're drinking it during the workout, you're not going to feel the effects until you're walking out the gym door, and it's useless then. So that's one recommendation I would make about pre-workout. And you see people eating those like Rice Krispie bars and stuff. They're fast releasing carbs, the likes of Rice Krispies, Cocoa Pops and all. And you'll feel the effects of that in about 20 minutes. Same with bananas. But if you're eating a bowl of porridge and then you plan to go do a workout, you'd probably start feeling the effects after an hour to an hour and a half the carbs from that food. So yeah, if you were doing a workout an hour and a half after a bowl of oats, like, that would probably benefit you more. But if you were to like down a bowl of oats and then go to the gym 10 minutes later, you're probably not going to feel the benefits of it yet anyway. So that pretty much sums up supplements. So now we're going to move on to digestion. Again, you don't absolutely need to take these supplements, but I would actually recommend maybe the capsules, so like omega-3, vitamin D, etc. They're just great for your overall health, okay? Never mind if you're even in the gym, they're really great for your overall health. But anyway, moving on to digestion. Now, I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, digestion, yeah, this is where I tune out. No, like I'm going to tell you why digestion is important for fat loss, because it has a massive domino effect on everything else, okay? If you are someone who suffers from bloating or constipation, you need to listen to this part, okay? Because you are going to blame it on a food. Oh, I'm intolerant to a food. I'll stop eating bread and I'll probably stop being constipated. I know it's the bread, or I know it's the biscuits or whatever. Like, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to literally tick off a few boxes here, okay? And I want you to basically think to yourself, am I one of those people, okay? So, for example, are you someone who watches something on your phone while you're eating? Do you watch the telly while you're eating your meals? Do you eat your meals, like, very, very quickly because you're on the go, so you feel like you just have to down them? Do you be talking to people while you're eating? Like, do you actually sit down and focus on your food while you're eating it? Because you've probably been raised your whole life to never think like this, okay? Just eat and that's it. But if you actually paid attention to breaking down your food, all right, and focusing on really, really breaking it down, and, you know, into little tiny microscopic pieces, you know, the saliva is liquidizing it and everything, and it goes down your digestive tract into the stomach, you know, into the intestines, and it's really, really broken down and liquidized, that's going to pass through your intestine so much more easier than if you were to sit there with a meal and, you know, imagine downing lumps of steak, okay, not breaking it down, or lumps of food in general, and you're just horsing it down you, okay, horsing it down you. Very little water, it's not being liquidized. You know what that's like? That's like throwing a load of food down a drain pipe underneath a sink, okay? Not putting the tap on, just throwing loads of food, scraping your plate, okay? You've emptied the remains of it into the bin, but there's still traces of it on the plate, and you're scraping it into the sink, and you've no water on coming from the tap. That's going to block up the drain pipe, okay? Because there's nothing there to aid the movement, all right? So if you're lacking water and you're not breaking down your food properly, what's going to happen? It's going to start blocking up the digestive tract, okay? And then with the lack of water, it's not going to move more fluidly. So what happens? You're going to get constipated because it wants to move and it's trying to move. And that's why we get constipated, okay? That's why we feel like we need to go, but nothing's coming out, because it's harder to move through the tract. So how will we fix that, all right? So first of all, we need to be breaking down our food, all right? We do. We have to sit there and focus on breaking it down. And I know you're thinking, oh, well, I'm always on the go and my job's very busy. Like, you need to prioritize yourself. You need to stop focusing on someone else ruling your life, and you need to have 5 minutes, 10 minutes to yourself to break down a meal, okay? One bite, chew it, chew it, chew it. Your mouth's going to produce more saliva. It's going to help liquidize the food. It's going to go down your mouth, into your stomach, down your esophagus, into your stomach, into the digestive tract. It's going to be more liquidized. It's going to move more fluidly, okay? If you're literally chewing a big lump of steak and you're not breaking that down, it's like blocking a drain pipe, okay? Drinking water is going to help as well. If you're lacking water, okay, your stomach's or your digestive tract's going to be like, I suppose, a rusty pipe, all right? So you want it well oiled, and water is going to help with that. So yeah, breaking it down, all right, drinking plenty of water and focusing on it. Stop ramming it down your throat, okay? Because have you ever eaten, I suppose, bread is a good example. Like, I remember when I used to be in primary school, we used to get chocolate muffins on a Friday, okay? And you swore I never ate a chocolate muffin in my life when this one of these used to be handed to me on a Friday, because I used to devour it, okay? But I would eat it so quickly that it would get stuck in my esophagus. And do you ever feel when, like, you've eaten a roll or something like that, something really doughy, and you're like, oh, it feels like it's blocking up your esophagus, and you can actually feel it going down your throat, and you're like, okay, maybe I should give this a second to pass before I take another bite. Like, that's so bad for digestion. It really is. It's just like adding, it's like adding to the pile of food that's already like backed up in your digestive tract, okay? But you probably never thought of this. You probably never thought water's going to aid movement. You probably never thought of breaking down your food in your mouth. Like, I mean, taking one bite, putting the fork down, like, really take your time eating your food. Like, you need to prioritize yourself. That's going to help with digestion, okay? And then, you know, give it 2 weeks. Give it 2 weeks of really focusing on eating your food, like your time, okay? You're not watching YouTube. You're not talking to people. You're not, you know, ramming it down your throat. Like, really focus on your meals for about 2 weeks and see does that constipation stop, and try to have 500 mils to a litre of water with your food as well, and see how you feel then, okay? But also, what's important for digestion as well is if you're someone who eats ultra processed food all the time, all right, your gut health is going to be in bits, right, your gut's going to be in bits. This is why people drink Actimels and probiotics, right? Because it actually promotes healthy gut bacteria, all right? And when we catch viruses and infections and stuff, how does it enter our body? Through the mouth, all right? If someone sneezed on your lasagna and you put that in your mouth, how is the virus going to get into your bloodstream? It's going to travel down your esophagus with the food, into the stomach, into the digestive tract. And the healthier the gut bacteria in your gut, okay, the more it's going to fight off infection. But when you're constantly eating ultra processed food, like, it's ruining the good gut microbiome in your stomach or in your digestive tract. So I keep getting the two mixed up there. And you've more chance of, like, so I suppose, like, your diet does matter when it comes to being ill, all right? Because you might notice the more shit you eat, the less chance you have of fighting off infection. And it was something I noticed, okay? Something I noticed, and I mentioned in a previous podcast as well. I can't remember the last time I was sick. I can't remember the last time I was sick because I've been looking after my nutrition now for the past 2 years. And I would say, yes, I caught COVID when it was at its peak, come back a couple of years ago and stuff, but I can't remember the last time I was sick. I really can't. And I remember when I was eating nothing but shit a few years ago, like, you know, ultra processed food, loads of alcohol, I was always sick. I was always sick. Now, I don't actually drink a probiotic. I actually should be. But if you drink a probiotic every day and less processed food, like, you really will stand a chance of resisting infections. You know, obviously added vitamin D as well. But I can't say it's not a coincidence when someone just keeps putting shit into their body, like ultra processed food, fast food, alcohol, and they're sick all the time. Do you know 70% of your immune system is in your stomach? It's in your digestive system. 70%, because the bad bacteria is going to find it harder to pass through the intestine wall into your bloodstream if your gut has a lot of good bacteria, all right? So take those probiotics and start looking after your nutrition, fruit and veg, and good whole foods, you know, wholemeal foods, oats, brown bread, fruit and veg, and, you know, one bad meal a week. Well, I don't even like using the word bad, but, you know, one takeaway a week or going out for a meal in a restaurant once a week isn't going to, like, harm you in any way. But if you're consistently just eating shit every day, like, you don't stand a chance, okay? You don't. Like, I suppose, what are the effects? Where am I? I just have my list here. So signs of an unhealthy gut is stress, all right? Stress is going to affect it. Too little sleep is going to affect your gut. Lack of physical activity, eating too many ultra processed foods, smoking and drinking alcohol, okay? Drinking alcohol. I used to always get, like, swollen glands and stuff after a night of drinking. And taking antibiotics. You wouldn't believe this. Like, the last time I had an infection, my coach was just like, don't take an antibiotic. It's actually going to ruin your gut bacteria. But sometimes I'm like, I just want to get better. So I was taking, like, an antibiotic. But there's other, like, actual, I forget the word for it. What is the word for it? Oh my God. I can't think of the word now. It's going to come back to me. But it basically means, like, it's all organic and natural and stuff like that. What is the word for it? That's going to annoy me now. And I bet you everyone's screaming at me through this podcast. But yeah, like, loads of type of, like, home remedies or, like, natural organic stuff with herbs and stuff like that that you can buy in, like, in capsule form from, like, health shops and stuff are supposed to be much better. And then what helps good gut bacteria? So eating slowly, again, and consume smaller, more frequent meals. So again, let's say you are guilty of skipping meals a lot, all right? And it's just because you're so busy. When you have to take down 2,000 calories worth of food between 6 o'clock in the evening and 9 o'clock at night, good luck, okay? Good luck with digestion. You are going to be clogged up to the rafters, all right? And then you need to chew your foods well to break it down. Drink beverages at room temperature, loads of water. Increase physical activity. Do you know having a power walk or even just a 10-minute walk in general after you down a meal actually helps with digestion? Sorry, I just got a notification there. Helps with digestion. So people who lie in bed and eat takeaways and stuff, you ain't helping your digestion, okay? So take a nice stroll if it's the middle of the day and you have the luxury to do so. So that kind of covers everything on digestion, all right? But again, it does have a massive knock-on effect if you are eating a lot of shit food, okay? Because it's probably going to weaken your immune system. If you're not taking a probiotic as well, and you're probably just going to know you're going to be sick an awful lot more than someone who actually... Look, I'm not saying I eat a salad every day, okay? Like, you know, a big bowl of veg or anything. I'm not saying that. but I do make the effort of putting like a lot of whole foods, like a lot of the foods I make myself, okay, I cook it myself. I eat out very rarely, maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks, very rarely. And that's probably the reason why I have a healthy gut, is because I know what's going into my body. But when you're going out or you're eating takeaways constantly, it's full of shit, all right? It is. It's not good for the gut. So that's just my 2 cents on digestion. And if you find you are guilty of any of those things that I've listed, when it comes to consuming your food, maybe just take a look at it and start focusing on breaking down the food properly, drinking loads of water, staying hydrated, and take your time eating it, okay? So that kind of sums up the podcast for this week. I also put on my coaching page that I'm going to be giving up alcohol for 90 days because I'm in a position now in my career where being hungover just isn't an option anymore, okay? I am up to my neck with so many projects, and I just feel like after 30, hangovers get insanely worse, and I just don't want to be stuck to the bed on a Sunday. Not that I go out every weekend, but I just know it's when I do. It takes me about 3 days to recover, lads, and I actually just want to give it up over Christmas because I know Christmas, you know, in I suppose my lifestyle, or the last few years, or even since I turned 18, Christmas was always a big drinking period in my life because, you know, you're surrounded by friends and family a lot. There's Christmas parties, there's people coming home from Australia, America, etc. Just the culture this country holds is a big drinking one, okay? And I just know that I want to be my best self. I have so much coming up in January with the new platform, with other stuff for my career. And I know that if I take a break from alcohol, I'm going to be my best self, and I'm going to be able to put the one foot in front of the other and show up and be the person I want to be. So that's why I'm giving up alcohol. I'm not villainizing it, but I just think less is better, to be honest, especially going forward. So yeah, gonna give it up for 90 days. I'm gonna update just weekly, see how I'm getting on. But yeah, look, some people can handle a drink and they can have one or two and they can go out and they're fine. Like, and you know, so can I the majority of the time. But yeah, I just feel like I don't view it like I used to, like in my 20s, where I used to look forward to going out and getting pissed every weekend. Like I've said this in other podcasts, I now see it as like I'm trying to force it into me on weekends, like as a way of socializing either with my other half or like his friends or my friends. And it's like, I just want to be able to go out and have a good time and not have it centered around alcohol, you know, but that's the way this country is, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm going to give it up for 90 days. The 9th of February, I think it's up. So it's going to be tough over Christmas because I've been used to drinking over Christmas my entire life. Well, the last 12 years since I've been legal to drink alcohol. So yeah, it'll be testing. But you know what? I just think waking up on a Sunday and being smug as fuck while someone else is stuck to the bed is way more rewarding than going out for the night itself. And again, the after effects, being hungover, things get put on the long finger, things you need to get done, etc. Yeah, it's just not who I want to be. But anyway, enough of that. Tune in to the next episode. I hope this one has helped in terms of supplements and digestion. And I will see you all next week.